name is Nancy Monroe from Knowledge Shift, and my co-host may or may not be on today, but my audience, they are here and willing to help keep things afloat here. But, you know, it's been a long week, and I thought I would share with us some discussions about how to create the X factor of a customer experience. You know, because a lot of times organizations will spend time around having a motto or the customer's always right, you know, but sometimes that seems just like lip service. And so, you know, how can you actually demonstrate to your customers that you're really going above and beyond that? And so I wanted to share some insights and some tips around that. And there's lots of tools today around how you can use social media and beyond social media, video, customer testimonials. But because the cost of delivering this information is cheaper and cheaper, I think organizations should be doing that. But there's also ways to give more of a human touch to create that X factor so that virally your existing customers then begin to kind of share that experience with some of their friends, family, and whatnot. So, certainly if you're listening to this and you want to chime in, maybe a customer experience that you felt was worth taking note of, let me know that as well. Just type it into our chat area as well. So let me pull up my notes here. Experiences. And, oh, here we go. There's Allison. Hello.
Hey. Hi.
She's here, everyone. So our audience already introduced themselves. So, but I was saying that you're out probably taking care of our customers, right?
I am, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so today's discussion is around how to get that X factor or how to give the X factor in customer experiences. And, you know, a lot of times we think we're giving that X factor, but we're really just kind of being status quo.
Right.
And so there's lots of different ways that organizations can go above and beyond that that customer experience. And a lot of times now customers are even trying to get their scores up, customer scores, customer satisfaction scores, all those types of things. And, you know, you sometimes wonder what does a happy customer look like, for one thing? Is it just that they like our product, they come back, or is it that they're spreading the word without having to be incentivized to do that? And I don't know, do you have like a current place that you shop or a vendor that you've used in the past that just every single time makes you feel good about, you know, having a relationship with them?
Absolutely. In fact, I just saw somebody very much that way today, and it just, you know, it's taking the extra time with me. It's making me feel welcome. It's also remembering things that I said when I was there the last time. Just really all those things that make it feel really valuable to me, that I really, it's just, those are things that matter, especially the remembering things that we talked about in the past, that just knowing that they have seen many, many customers between the last time I saw them and now, and having some kind of information about what we talked about without having to kind of prompt me for information. They're like, oh, now wait, didn't you have a brother? Or wasn't your brother doing this?
Mm.
Or,
oh, yeah.
And I say, I take notes on people that that I interact with that I want to have and build a relationship. I think that that can be so valuable, and a lot of good customer service groups do that. I'm thinking like fine clothiers do that, where they remember your sizes and stuff, so that you can call them and say, I need to get my wife a blouse. Well, certainly, is she still a size 6, you know, whatever, and, you know, does she still, this is the color scheme she likes, you know, how do you remember that? You
right.
Make notes after talking to somebody or while you're talking to them.
Yeah,
how about you?
Exactly.
Is there some place that you really enjoy and go to because they give great customer service?
I would say I try to shop as much as possible online. And avoid human contact whatsoever because I'm usually not because I'm not, you know, a friendly person or don't enjoy people's company. It's usually it just seems so much faster to me. But I will say, obviously, Amazon probably comes to mind to a lot of people because they make it easy.
Yeah.
You know, where if because I'm a Prime member, when I log in, I'm already logged in pretty much all day long anyway, which is probably bad for me because they're probably tracking my every move. But
right.
But just that one click, bing, bang, boom, oh, this is what I want, done. And I think I wrote a post in LinkedIn a couple months back about how if you could measure the emotion level of somebody during every step of the customer experience, I pointed out that coincidence that when you get something from Amazon, it's like opening a present.
Right.
It's like, oh, what
even
is it? I mean, you know what it is.
Face.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what it is.
But you see that swoosh on the box, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Nancy, even when it isn't coming to my house and I just see it in the mail carrier, I think, oh, somebody's getting something fun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's it's kind of like a half smile, like, ha-ha, you're getting something.
Right.
So it's not only the face-to-face or personal contact, it's the non-personal contact that makes a difference too.
Right.
So you make it
right.
easy for people to do business with you. And so I found this, what made me kind of prompt this topic today, there's a website called Customer Think, and they had this post that said, what is the X factor in customer-centric success? So I'll put a link to this on our blog post. But and he says that these habits are covered in his book as far as hooked on customers. And I'll just list them real quick. Listening, obviously. Think objectively to make sound, fact-based decisions. Empower employees with authority and resources to serve customers. Create new value for customers with new or improved solutions. So this one I think is really valuable because it is and it isn't. On one hand, software companies do this all the time. But it drives
What's
me
that?
Crazy. They create new enhanced versions, or at least they say they're new and enhanced. And so you're either having to pay extra to have the latest and greatest. And I will say, Adobe, if you're listening out there, you know, there's lots of things I would like to say to you for
right.
certain software I buy from you. It's like I don't always want to be forced into getting the upgrade and not having the option to keep the version I'm using.
Right.
That would be a nice
right.
feature for you, Adobe. But if it's something that genuinely has added value, you know, Apple does this all the time, right? They're always upgrading and supposedly it does this better or does that better. And
right.
then lastly, delight customers by exceeding their expectations, just like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what else, though, Nancy? The thing that you stated, the empower your employees.
Yeah.
I have to say, and I don't know that they always did this before, but Amazon does have people that you can talk to if you need to, because I've had issues with things that I needed resolution on. And they not only are lovely people, friendly, easy to talk to, they listen just like the first item on that list, but they are empowered to solve the problem. And they've never had to transfer me to somebody else, or you get that spiel of, oh, I'm sorry, sir, that's our policy, and then you have to remember to say, then I'd like to speak to your manager. Why do we have this escalation? It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, GoDaddy's like that, too.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they'll say, oh, you know, and they're doing a little bit more than I like now. They're like, oh, I see you've got this coming due or this domain's coming due, and if you do this and this and that, you know, now it's almost like every time it's like, okay, what are the chances that every time I call in for something just happens to
right.
just take place?
He's getting on his edge, right.
Yeah. But you're right, they do kind of are empowered to help resolve what's going on. It's been very rare that I've ever had to be handed off to somebody else when I've called in Amazon or GoDaddy.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can deal with, and with a friendly, nice, and I've called L.L. Bean and had the same kind of thing. And again, it seems to be people who have a belief that, you know, the products that they sell, that they're going to stand behind them.
Yep.
I don't know if you've ever tried to return something to Amazon. So very often, they will not accept. They just refund you. It's just like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm happy to send this back to you. I haven't used it. Please donate it to somebody.
Wow.
They've done the math.
That
right?
is exactly. That's phenomenal right there.
Right.
But
yeah.
Where does that start? You know, so that's why I thought, okay, it's one thing to being a measuring stick of your own customer experiences, but the other places, where does it start? And it really starts with the culture of the organization.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be customer-centric, customer-focused, and it said if surveys by IBM, Forrester, Gartner, and others are to be believed, 80 to 90% of business leaders say they are committed to being customer-focused, obsessed, centric, whatever. It doesn't matter. When they, despite all the rhetoric in recent years about improving customer experience, did overall customer satisfactions, they've actually declined in 2004 based upon these metrics. Yeah. It's a slumping customer satisfaction forecast, and therefore there's weak spending. Of course, this is a year ago, December 9th, 2014. I think if they did the survey today, spending is up, but I think that's due to economic growth, not necessarily the fact that you're not having good customer experiences. And I do
right.
think there's definitely an increase in online buying, but then that drives, as you said, if I'm going to call, if I need to return, I bought something on eBay. It was the wrong size. And,
wow.
And it's shoes. Okay, and you know my husband. He's like, You're buying shoes online? I have to try them on. How do you know? Blah, blah, blah. And, of course, he told
right.
me what size to get, and I ordered the wrong size. So it wasn't that they shipped the wrong size. I ordered the wrong size. And but I did see, do they accept returns? What's their return policy? Because some people on eBay don't let you return stuff.
Absolutely.
And I did have to jump through a couple of hoops. I had to go turn. I thought they would send me a return authorization slip or something like that. So I had to pay to ship it back, which is fine because they were still a good pair of shoes. So it does with varying degrees, but I think more and more people will be ordering online, hence more need to have some of these other things in place, your non-human contact things, to make it easy
right.
for people to return, to check what your return policy is. I mean, that's sometimes maddening to say, okay, well, where is it? You know, and anytime I've ever set up an e-commerce site, where they clear your merchant services vendor many, many times, or even your shopping cart vendor will force
uh-huh.
you to have, what are your policies? What are your return policies? So they check that, you know, they don't, because somehow it probably gets tied back to them if for some reason you're conducting business without good return policies and customer service information.
Right. That's fascinating. I didn't realize they got involved with that as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was building a website with an e-commerce engine, and they kept rejecting approving it fully to accept credit cards because I didn't have this type of page or that type of page. And I kept putting it in there, but in a different location. So I had to finally kind of talk to them and say, it's in there, and this is why I put it there.
Right.
I'm like, oh, all right. Okay, good. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, because I don't go to the one-stop shop places where it's all kind of built for you ahead of time. And I try to save some money and build it myself.
Sure.
But so some of the other things that this Customer Think site says, you know, leaders setting a good example, which means the key ingredient to customer-centric change, he's calling this X factor. So he, and I'll put a link to this chart too. So he analyzed two different practices to see which differentiated top-performing businesses, leaders versus laggards. One
mm-hmm.
really jumped out at me, leaders setting a good example. As you can see in the chart, which you can't see, There's a gap of 20%, 20 percentage points or more in all five habits. So the five things I listed, listen, think, empower, create, delight, by far the ones that lead in kind of the customer X factor are way ahead of their competition. And so he's got a couple of favorites here. He says, my favorite story comes from SunTrust. People started asking in meetings, do we believe X because we've been bankers for Y years or because clients told us? So this person continues, as our chief marketing officer and our head of cross-channel strategy began doing that all the time, it became common practice throughout our company. Then you begin to seek it and call people on it when they don't. So he's basically saying, if you're constantly questioning, if the leaders within the organization are constantly questioning, are we doing it because we've been doing it this many years just because, status quo,
right?
Or are we doing it because it adds value to the customer experience? So that's a great example as far as embedding that into constantly keeping it fresh in your mind as far as challenging why, okay, why are we doing this? What is this policy for? How is this helping the customer? Versus
right.
How is it beating, or which you, I guess maybe the spin of that would be, how does this beat the competition, which is the way many people think, versus how can we keep our customers, or how does this help our customers?
Right.
Another one is South.
Fantastic.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's fantastic.
Here's another one. Southwest Airlines focuses on a fun flying experience, which they do. I've been on a good couple of flights with that. On Halloween, the CEO, Gary Kelly, came as Kiss. Says, Google his name or go to images and check him out. Tony Say of Zappos, I'm not sure if that's how you say his last name because it's H-S-E-I-H, focuses on being customer-centric, and at busy times, he works in the call center on the phone.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've heard that. I think, didn't they get bought by, though? This can't be that old information. I thought Zappos got bought, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, but again, just don't go by the, you know, years and years ago, I used to sell this training video called In Search of Excellence that Tom Peters got really famous for. I think it was originally on PBS, repeated many, many times, and then I sold it. But one of the stories he talks about is a grocery store chain that always said the customer is always right. And I said, well, is that enough, though? I mean, sometimes they're not right.
Right.
You know, so you have to kind of decide, all right, what is the power behind saying the customer's always right? Well, unfortunately, in this day and age, people look for ways to, do bad things to companies because they know, oh, well, your policy is customer's always right, so I should get a refund, right? And again, it's not to say that you wouldn't give them a refund or you don't think that they are being honest with you, but I think sometimes if that's the policy that you're living by, sometimes you create this culture of people trying to get away with something.
Right.
So
yeah,
think of other
know.
Ways that you can delight them so you're attracting fewer and fewer of those people.
Right. And honestly, living by a slogan, I really like that idea of constantly questioning what's the value here? Why are we still doing this? And I think I would add to that the willingness of upper management to take that question from people much lower on the ladder, that culture should have the culture of questioning in a safe place. Be able to really, if that's your goal of giving, you know, a stellar customer service, then we should all be able to call each other on it in a way that's helpful and constructive.
Yeah.
Not in an aggressive kind of way. And I think that does build a different culture within the company. But the idea of, let's not say just the customer's right, that's our blanket story. Yeah, you've got to create this very different kind of customer set that doesn't really align to what you're really trying to go for. And I think whenever we're trying to define these broad sweeping kind of slogans to live by or to govern your business by, that, and also you incorporate it in marketing because it gets kind of crazy that way, that you really have to figure that you're going to rewrite that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Make sure you're really, you know, doing the right thing. That's something that's going to evolve as you continue to work your business. It can't be static.
Right.
It has to evolve.
Well, and speaking of that evolving, you have to think about, too, it's not just the external customer, it's the internal customer.
Right.
You know, especially large organizations. I've heard some clients say, well, our client, even though what they're referring to is my department versus this other department that we service.
Yeah.
And so you want to think about your internal customers as well and the relationships that you have with them. I was on a webinar today around emotional intelligence, and it talked about how the stronger your emotional intelligence is, the more productive and successful you will be, which makes sense. And I thought that some of the things they were talking about seemed like, well, duh, but I guess some people just aren't, you know, if they're angry, they're caught up in the emotion versus why am I angry and what can I do about it?
Right.
Or why am I frustrated with this situation and what can I do about it? You know, so
how
if you're
can
the customer, yeah, so if you're the
yeah.
customer and you're angry at something that happened to you that, or service that you paid for, you're just going to head on like, this is unacceptable, you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
And so companies need to teach their employees to say, look, they're angry, they're upset about something, you know, and a lot of times they'll teach, especially call centers, I'm sorry you feel that way, and, you know, they do this kind of pandering of repeating what they're, so you're saying, or our policy is, I'm sorry you feel that way, but our policy is blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, there's other ways to diffuse that anger and to be more genuine about it.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah. you know, and sometimes you're not going to make them happy, and that's just, but there's, you know, is there something that you can do? So those would be, I think, great exercises for organizations to say, look, in this situation, we couldn't solve whatever this was. Or within the
right.
time period we had, we couldn't make a satisfied transaction. So what else could we have done to help that customer walk away at least having some stabilization to or neutrality around how they felt about us as a company?
Right, right.
You know, and then, you know, but constantly, you know, nowadays it's such a big job because you're constantly having to look through social media, videos, any kind of channel where you think people are making comments. Then you've got the other things like, not Yahoo, Yelp, you know, and it's just mind-boggling of all the places where, you know, customers could have some type of communication about the experience that they've had.
And so often it seems like people who have a bad experience, I'm sure there's some stats on this that somebody out there knows, how much a bad experience is
mm-hmm.
often reached out versus...
I think it's 10 times. I think it's 10 times minimal.
Wow.
They'll tell 10 people about a bad experience they had, but if they had a good experience, they might tell half or fewer. Or none.
Wow.
They just say, well, that's
wow.
expected.
Says a lot about human nature, too.
yeah, that's true. So that's just it. It's like, what's the X factor? What's going to get me? So if they're not at least telling people about it or referring people about it, at least maintaining the relationship you have with them is goal number one. Number one, getting them, acquiring them as
Return.
A customer. And then
yeah.
number two, keeping them as a customer. And so that's a big challenge these days just because, you know, people can go educate themselves or believe they're educating themselves about a product or a service without any human contact whatsoever. And,
right.
You know, I see this a lot at the tech shows that I go to. They're telling organizations now, create multi-levels of how people can acquire your product or service. So the first level is self-service. So do you have a self-service version of your product or service? How easy is that to do? And does that lend itself to going up to the next tier of service where maybe it's a phone call, right? You know, where you don't physically have to go into a store, but maybe you have a conversation with someone on the phone to help you make a decision, and then you make a purchase. And then the next level might be, you know, usually the higher the levels go, the longer the sales cycle and that product acquisition process takes. So think of all the levels that you have. Think of how you can create the X factor in each of those levels. And it's a lot of it has to do around content generation, tracking experience, analytics. It's such a huge job these days of just managing all of the data around what's going on in the organization, what's our supply chain like, what's going on internally, what's our customer engagement situation, how well are we keeping customers engaged, because that's reflective on happy employees means hopefully happy customers, etc. So it's a big job, and there's lots of competition out there these days, and it's even globally, you know, we see companies where you don't even buy onshore. I got something from a company online. I thought it was here. Both things were shipped from China.
Yeah, right.
I had no idea. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
This only cost me $8 and it came from China? Holy cow.
How did they ship that? It's crazy.
I know.
I think, too, Nancy, I think talking to the people who are your big customers, your people that come back, like for us, I was thinking about certain clients that we have, that it would really be valuable, I think, to sit down and talk with them, you know, say, you know, you've been a customer of ours for many, many years. What makes you keep coming back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think having those conversations also help them remember why they keep coming back to you.
Right.
And it just builds that relationship. Again, if you're coming at it from a place of sincerity rather than an authenticity, rather than an untrue look, you know, place and emotionally.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
Well, it's like right now, it's, I don't know if people are listening to this off season, but I used to send out a lot of holiday cards and things like that, but now I've actually don't do that around Christmas time because everybody does that, and it just feels like, oh, okay, well, it's Christmas time, I have to send out a holiday card. Rather, I actually send out Valentine's cards and little boxes of chocolate and put in there, we love our customers. Happy Valentine's Day. Because nobody's like, oh, my gosh, I got a Valentine, and I've had a couple of people actually send me personal responses to that to say, what a great idea. And they really appreciated it. So, you know, our audience agrees. They think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So think about it. You know, I'd love to hear other people's ideas and stories around either customer experiences or what your company is doing to be embedding the X factor into your customer experiences. Well, thank you, Allison, for joining me, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you, Nancy. Yeah. Wow. The year's almost gone.
Woo.
This Father's Day, pro-grade power tools are within dad's reach and yours at the Home Depot, where right now your choice of select pro-grade Milwaukee Red Lithium tools are only $99 each. Drill drivers, impact drivers, lithium-ion batteries, and more. Want to treat dad like a pro? Give him power tools pros use. Select Red Lithium power tools from Milwaukee, just $99 each. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details, valid through June 20th.